Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. It's time again. 2 weeks has gone by. This is Rob Christensen with Visible Secrets, Invisible Power. It's about the climate and the Bible and the immense struggle that we face. You could call it Armageddon, and the Indians could call it, or Native Americans could call it, the zigzag ending path that we're on. However, as bleak as things seem, as Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org author, has said, you know, it's a miracle life is even on this planet. There's nothing in the equation that how impossible it is that out of a chunk of water and clay that, you know, life came about. Given the bleakness of the times, the melting poles, the methane rising and changing the chemistry of Earth, these are methane gases. We can't know the equation incomplete. There might be something out there. So healthy people, strong people never give up. And as Dane Wigington has done now for 260 radio programs consecutive every Saturday, 1 hour, I guess I'm holding my post as he's holding his creator's post, the post that God gave him, at least to do an hour every 2 weeks. I'm doing my best at that. And in spite of my failures and busyness with holding a job, paying debts, and duties to family to keep the house standing and so forth, I get as much time as I can to contemplate what I can do, as there's no silver bullet, but to contemplate fires of awareness. So today's topic is the Masonic Keystone in Zionist Star of David. Again, as we are in a spiritual battle, and as many humans and up to the top have lost their sense of spirit and, you know, are lost in this materialist world of form and, you know, lost in that we do so many things, commit so many acts without knowing what we're doing to the planet and the life that can't speak, the web of life that we as humans speak. Animals communicate, but our immense impact, such as paving the planet, making millions in cars, and having a profiteering system, there's no voice, there's no accountability to the rest of the web of life, which is factually disappearing. Our food supply, factually disappearing. The rate of extinction is unchecked as compared to other extinctions. Well, that can be debated, But that's why I stuck on the spiritual side of things, as this radio blog so blessedly is about, that the good book, in spite of its contradictions or misunderstandings, has a lot of sacredness in it. So does the U.S. Constitution. And as the chief, how should I say, the director of the National Education Association, I don't have her name, I'm sorry, but she, I heard a speech momentarily as I saw on the screen, as she's bowing out, she's saying that those who wrote the Constitution wrote poetic words. If they may have been slave owners, they may have had the Civil War, whatever, all the atrocities, but at the same time, their words were poetic and their ideals are to be held. So I just want to look into the spiritual battle we're in and try to understand how, you know, people of Christian faith, of Jewish faith, have turned the cross upside down, in effect. But to start out, let me remind you of the last blog, which featured Charles or Chuck Baldwin of the Moral Majority, who was a leader of a large congregation, ran for president with the blessing of Ron Paul in the Tea Party. And I've mentioned, too, that we should form a bridge movement or maybe a party. In other words, we need to bridge the gap quickly between the misunderstanding that climate warming, global warming is a hoax. Even though it's normal in Minnesota here where I live, how can people say it's a hoax? It's just, it's irritating. Yet those same people are the ones that will say, well, climate engineering, yeah, I understand, it's real. They're poisoning us. And yet they won't even admit to the fact that this is the greatest cause of climate collapse and runaway warming. So I will share a little personal conversation or dialogue that I've had with one of my coworkers, who is very much a supporter of Donald Trump. And again, this is not about politics. I don't wish to get into that. I wish to get into existence, Armageddon, survival of the planet. That's not political. But my effort is to understand behavior, and my effort is to understand history and symbols, how things get so turned around. But I want to start with something that is so critical from Dane Wigington, who, in spite of starting with 300 letters and getting maybe one or two responses when he started this 20-year battle, now has people from all over the world contributing to his website. So I'm going to give you an example before I get too deep into the spiritual side of things, an example of a fairly lengthy document. I'm going to read it to you because it's from 1978. There was a conference on food and water with educators. There was a naval officer present who totally understood what was going on because he was in the military. And at the time, it wasn't so censored. Climate engineering was not quite so covert as it's continually more covert, as it's the crown jewel of the people that are destroying this planet, which includes our empire and other empires. So in desperation, those in power, the power structure, the criminally insane who climb up the ladder, who think they're gods and can decide life and death, are hiding their desperation, and that they're doing drastic things like this pandemic. So I call it plandemic. And again, heated debate. Do we wear masks? Do we not? So the more we're divided, the more we need a bridge. We need a way for civil discussion. And a quick thought on that is with, I won't get into detail with it because I'm not talking about the pandemic today. But please, please, just look up on the search. Robert Kennedy Jr., and Alan Dershowitz. Dershowitz is the lawyer for Donald Trump, and he's been around generations, and he was with the Kennedy family. So for 15 years, Robert Kennedy Jr. has struggled to open the debate on the stigma of vaccines, that if you're anti-vaccine or if you're very limited vaccine, you're stigmatized. So Mr. Dershowitz was kind enough to agree to a public debate, which for the first time in 15 years, this dedicated public servant, Robert Kennedy, had a chance to be on public stage. Isn't that something, how long it takes? The same with the 9/11 study recently, which reveals beyond a shadow of a doubt physically that Building 7 was taken down with controlled demolition and with tons of evidence that the rest of them were also, that it was not just planes. So false flags, false operations, or covert operations like climate engineering. And sadly, we're coming to this point in time where, as Dane Wigington says, we have, as humans, have the capability to save this planet, but we also have the capability of to destroy this planet and turn it into Venus 2, a sister to the existing Venus planet in our solar system. So that's very important. And that's why I'm going to open up here to Naval Officer Gerald Admire. This was the 1978, I believe it was, Food, Weather, Water Conference for Educators. And it confirms exactly what Dane's been struggling now with 20 years. So that goes back to, you know, the year of the millennium, 2000. Anyways, it starts like this. Covert global climate engineering tearing apart Earth's climate and life support systems. Sir Bernard Lovell, in his book, In the Center of Immensities, says, more than ever before in this century, society has persuaded to give material support to scientific activities in the belief that the activities would in some way be of benefit to humanity. Already we see that this is not the case. The more science has progressed, so the divisions of good and evil in its application have disappeared. We used to sort between that, in other words, good and evil. Now we don't. The belief in automatic material progress by means of scientific discovery and application has become a tragic myth of our age. And let me give you an example outside of this report, a personal example I heard from Dane. I never thought of this. Naturally, a hurricane is something destructive. It kills people. It makes their life miserable. But so are we to now stop hurricanes? Well, here's the consequence that I never thought of, and obviously scientists who think deeply have not known about this. You know, we're not just a physics lab. This planet is full of life that is far more complex than our understanding. Well, hurricanes toss up so much oxygen from the ocean and the power of the updraft that it supplies our upper air levels, the stratosphere, let's call it, with ozone. Okay, without ozone, there is no life on this planet. So if we suppress hurricanes, we're suppressing ozone that needs to be fed back into the upper atmosphere. So that's an example of how dangerous it is to tamper with Earth as a physics lab. To the report. In essence, Sir Lovell's message to society and its educators is there's no free lunch in the long run. Your technology exacts a greater price than mankind can pay. The final toll is society itself and the environment and immeasurable suffering. Scientists, in their zeal to unlock Pandora's box, given a world population as guinea pigs and the Earth as their laboratories, have experimented with the world into a juggernaut of death and destruction. Some scientists wail, "We cannot go back." In a way, they are right. However, the scientists can stop their experiments long enough to watch the Earth regain some semblance of equilibrium. We will all suffer at some length. Technologists' cure without wisdom is far worse than our disease of greed and lust. Water, as in sounds of the living water, that's why I love that opening so much, because it's so powerful to this radio blog. Water is the unique liquid without which, as we know it, cannot exist. Once the supply was relatively prevalent in nature's hydrologic cycle, a delicate balance was obvious. It rose from the seas, the oceans, the lakes, rivers. The plants drew water from the soil and returned it via the atmosphere, brooks, rivers, streams, lakes, oceans. The energies released in the process once cleaned the air we breathe. Then along came scientists, in quotes, "We can regulate the water to everyone. All can have their rightful share," they promised. Politicians and merchants joined the chant. The trusting public responded with their wages earned with hard work. Unknown to the public, there was another price to pay. In order to adjust precipitation, scientists had to adjust the amount of moisture in the atmosphere. If the air mass was too dry, they extracted more water from the ocean and lakes as their air mass moved eastward. The electric properties of the atmosphere had to be regulated. Solar energy had to be adjusted to regulate the temperature differences. One of the principal devices used for adjustment is use of smoke of various elements ejected from aircraft at appropriate altitudes. Please understand, I'm not speaking of now. I'm speaking of 1978. Imagine that. Way back then, this technology was 30 years in the making. And as Dane Wigington, our master of the struggle, has been saying for 20 years now and fighting this battle, we have to become aware of what this technology, this most destructive technology is doing to this planet. And nevertheless, I'll quickly add that if we just let it go overnight, which we need to do, that also would be super dangerous. But without the Earth having a chance to respond to what's been done to it, there is no chance. It's Venus too, mathematically. And physically, if you look at frontline data, we're in an exponential positive feedback loop of many feedback loops converging on catastrophic extinction. So one of the principal devices used for adjustment is use of smoke of various elements ejected from aircraft at appropriate altitudes. Reduced electrical potential had to be increased to trigger the release of precipitation locked in tiny ice crystals high in the troposphere. So ionized clouds of gas, such as plasma, were and are ejected from high-flying aircraft by these means and other intentionally induced atmosphere phenomena. Scientists through the hydrologic cycle and wind systems they've thrown hydrologic cycle and wind systems out of harmonic equilibrium, and now, through erroneously programmed computers, are trying to provide the world with packaged precipitation according to users' desires and for a generous fee. Some scientists hold that members of their profession have an obligation to the public to describe scientific experiments as best they can. Of this climate engineering, while others in the field apparently attempt to mislead the public. So at this point in 1978, it's obvious what happened is there is no discussion, there is no disclosure. It was the Obama gag order which totally closed discussion on climate, whether it's weather forecasters or the Army or the Marines, whoever flies the military planes, or commercial contractors who also climate engineer. So, while others in the field apparently attempt to mislead the public. So, the word chemtrails, you're dismissed. That's a hoax. That's what our government has done. They've created this whole epidemic. So the sporadic yet continuous growth to control precipitation for world benefit has had a profound deleterious effect on world climate. The constant injection of various elements into the upper troposphere has established at times almost in the high clouds, almost invisible veil of gaseous halogens, iodine, ammonia, and carbon dioxide ions, which will, like volcanic dust, remain for years. Various discussions to explain the anomalous climate continue to avoid weather modification activities. Again, we have these international conferences in the 2000s where no such word, climate engineering. It's just amazing. It's just incredible where somebody states so clearly what's really going on in this hard copy manuscript that Dane Wigington received. So buried are the gems of wisdom uttered by Mr. Irving Lemur, Dr. Irving Lemur, the man who had such high hopes for benevolent usage of his many scientific discoveries, until today's weather scientists admit to their 30-year-old folly. Again, from that goes back all the way to 1948, of raping our sky. Climate patterns will continue to rain quick and slow death and destruction around the world on a greedy, lustful human race in all of nature's innocent life forms. Political, social, scientific societies point to dangers of immediate world famine because we can't provide enough food for overburdened world populations. Yet, every effort to provide technology and increase food production has indeed reduced man's ability to produce crops of balanced nutrition. I've discussed that regenerative agriculture, how instead of tilling, breaking the soil, and breaking down the components of the soil to grow crops in large scale, there's a different way to do this. How does a prairie grow so thick, its layers of soil, several feet deep? It's because it replenishes in its living sponge. Soil structure is never broken. So when we break the protozoans, the life in the nematodes, the bacteria, the fungus that holds structure to the soil, when we break that, it becomes dirt. And then we have to feed it with food, with fertilizer. That's a lot of money. So, for example, in a garden, if I let some ground cover exist among the crop I grow and, cut the ground cover so it doesn't shade out my growing plants, each year I can cut under and then tip over the soil so the soil stays in shape without breaking down, and then feed it with compost. So I'm getting a little off here, but I couldn't help but say that, yes, indeed, when we rain chemicals from the spraying of the sky, it changes the pH. It poisons the soil. The soil is not as productive. The trees don't grow as well. They're more subject to forest fire. In countless ways, climate engineering lays the basis for destruction of everything, including setting the stage for wildfires to start and also destroying the ozone, because the ozone is depleted from climate engineering, in the electrosmog that's put into the skies from the towers that give out the radio frequency microwaves that control the weather and the elements, the metallic elements they spray in the sky, which poison all life. So it's a Pandora's box, that's for sure. So let me find where I was. I'll finish this report. It takes a while, but I, you know, before this spiritual discussion, which we'll have little time, I had to get this in. This is a gem of a report that was sent to Dane Wigginton. I think, you know, if everybody heard this, we might start waking up as to how important it is to have an open public discussion on what's really going on in the skies so that everybody knows that when you see lines and cobwebs up there, that's not innocent water. That's poison water. And that's, you know, water is our source of life, as the Sounds of the Living Water has espoused in all the blogs with the biblical background. So, world famine because we can't provide enough food for overburdened world population, yet every effort to provide technology and food has indeed reduced man's ability to produce crops of balanced nutrition. Furthermore, it is a matter of public record that some nations withhold food supplies from the needy nations in order to drive up prices. These nations with overabundant food supply will continue to find a market from those nations who suffer. Science-induced climate anomalies, weather warfare. Educators have a hard decision to make whether to continue deceptive, propagandized conditioning of the education system or to tell the truth of how to live in harmony with the world's ecosystem. And believe you me, I have spent hours working to get into the education system on this topic, and I've not been permitted to continue. It's just, I remember very well going to the university just down the road, Metro State University, working with the political advocacy degree, and I was a new student among three others. Of the three people, two of them were introduced in depth. And for me, and they were allowed to speak, for me, my name was mentioned and that I was into biology, and I was not allowed to speak. I don't know why I didn't shout out right then and there and just say, look, you're not letting me give my background. That's unfair. I probably would have quickly ended my application to school because I get it. You know, environmental groups, there's a barrier, a deep barrier. All sectors of society have had a tough time with this. But I am going to go back now that I've, you know, finished the discussion. Again, how to live in harmony with the world's ecosystem. Yes, there are ways that get into the education system, like regenerative agriculture. But when people see that as the ultimate solution, or I'm driving an electric car, that's a cop-out. This, you know, this is much deeper. We can't just live token attempts to radically change the course we're on. It's going to take courage from everybody in the battle, especially those in the know, to wake others. And believe you me, I've got a long way to go in courage. But glad to say that I am getting some brochures out to people. Yesterday at the bank, there was dead time. So what did I do? The guy behind me, we had just briefly greeted each other out of frustration. And I gave him a fact photo sheet. Yesterday, I ordered more fact photo sheets and booklets because I'm out. And, you know, I'm eager to spread to the post office and go postal with this and have the courage to get to the union people to see what we can do as wildcat strikes, as it's more wildcat strikes than anything. But unions in this most recent crisis with Mr. Floyd and the Minneapolis crisis, George Floyd, you know, there's some strikers that are including the environment in their demands. So why not the post office? Even though we burn up hydrocarbons like there's no tomorrow, people all, you know, if you push them on it, I find there's a lot of receptive people that won't brush you off. They'll listen to you. They'll take a brochure. They'll thank you. So it's really not that hard. You just got to get the energy to step forward to a stranger and, you know, or a friend and break open a conversation. Take a look at where we are in time now. Okay, we're doing fine. In this topic of climate engineering, I wanted to include some personal experiences to add to what I just read about the undeniable fact of climate engineering. Just last couple of weeks, a coworker who he works with a different company, but I see him all the time. He's a supervisor of his company and a hard worker. He used to work for Evergreen. Evergreen was a CIA front operation. How does he know this? Well, he shared with me a internet article, you know, of the place where he worked. And the article was also in Dane's website when I looked it up, geoengineeringwatch.org website. But there was a point in time, I was in the 90s, where there was a drunken employee of the government who was at a bar, a little drunk for sure, and wanted to date a woman or, you know, just cozy up to her. So he started bragging about his job. I got a laugh because he was heard by people in the bar, and he just leaked out everything about the climate engineering Evergreen was doing as a CIA covert operation. He just spilled it out. It got published, and next thing you know, Evergreen, the CIA admitted that they are, that Evergreen was a cover for their operations. So Evergreen was erased as a name. But my coworker friend showed me the photo of all the planes used and the specific sites used for the climate engineering. So again, part of my mission in this blog is to spotlight the invisible power, whether it's the secrets of people or whether it's the invisible power of the microwaves that we don't see. Yet, if you look up at the clouds, you can see some bizarre patterns thanks to that power, you know, the herringbone pattern in clouds. So I encourage listeners, just look up at the sky as much as you can these days. Don't spend too much time on your cell phone looking down. And a word or two about my father. He, you know, died of cancer at a young age, 44. It was heart-wrenching. He was a leader in the community. He was a principal. And as he died, he wrote reflections. And I was reading through some of those reflections. And to summarize, he was in catechism. He was in a Lutheran church. And I remember his minister was a fire and brimstone type. He was really severe, harsh. And it kind of turned off my father towards church. But later on, he found somebody in the Lutheran community and who was a leader who said, you shouldn't, you know, hang out with Catholics. I got to laugh at some of this. It's sad, but, you know, it turned off my father. Are you kidding me? My neighbor is Catholic and I'm not supposed to associate with them? So my father kind of removed himself from church services And obviously in this spiritual quest, it evolves. Reality evolves as we go. And he became a Marine. He had a lot of fear of what he was to face, so he started looking more into the Bible and reading, you know, philosophy and whatnot. And then, you know, at military camp, he was drafted. He was in Fort Pendleton, and my mother gave birth to my brother, who's older than me, so he's doing service while he has a child, so that brought him closer. But in his reading and struggling to find something, and he did serve in the Church of the United Church of Christ. He was a key member. He did services. I know he did budgeting and the treasurer, but he had a lot of reluctance. So the statement of faith was such that my father said, look, I'll serve, but I have some reservations. I don't know about the resurrection. Of Christ yet. Christ, as I see, as an ultimate man of wisdom and spirituality when I read the text of what he has to say. And with that, you know, I'm fine. And one of the things that stuck with me, though, is if I can find it real quick, it was kind of a last minute to dig this up. But he says, we do not know the secret of his plan, God's plan. I hope we never find it. If we did, someone would be apt to tamper with it. And I don't think it can be improved upon. And that, in a nutshell, says it all for me. It's that from this original book, Ishmael, when we talk about Genesis and the Garden of Eden, 10,000 years ago, one can state in a scientific sense, this planet was pretty much in complete harmony after this miraculous buildup of countless years. Some would say billions, others might not believe it's that any sense of time, may say in a shorter period. But let's call it forever. It took this planet to develop. And at some point, it reached what I'd call the Garden of Eden, where there's changes in the weather, there's droughts and whatnot, but without change, there is no life. We have to have rain, we have to have dry. And the thriving of the planet, the diversity of the species, the wonder of the planet 10,000 years ago, oh, what I'd give to go back to that time in a time machine and just see the freshness, the clearness, the beauty surrounding you. That, you know, heaven is right with you. And as nature is very resilient, as we found out, there were predictions back in the 60s of an imminent demise of the whole planet. You know, we can still find solace. We can still recuperate. We can go to the park, especially in places like Minnesota, where the last 6 or 7 years we've been the most anomalously cool spot on the planet, which basically only means we've stayed somewhat normal. So to thank our lucky stars, but at the same time, to instead of looking into our selfish wants and desires and greed and lust and whatnot, as Dane Wigington says, how can my conscience let me go? I owe to my children, I owe to the greater good, the gift of life that it gave me, and what I've experienced, I need to give something back and do turn whatever stone I can. And, you know, I can't emphasize geoengineeringwatch.org. Anybody that listens to this blog, you spend 5 minutes on any of those broadcasts, those radio broadcasts, and there's this deep, profound light of awareness and clarity in those talks. Okay, that out of the way, let's take a look at the time. I've got 20 minutes, and I want to talk about what prompted me to look into Christian Zionism. I've talked about the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and with Chuck Baldwin, let's just focus on Israel for a moment, where here's a place that's venerated and worshipped, you know, in our political system, social system, we give money to Israel, and it just seems hidden, the reality of the misery they put upon the Palestinian people. One of the articles I looked at was from Benjamin Friedman. And around the time of Woodrow Wilson, he was a Jew, a higher up in society, a higher up in government. And he basically defected from the Jewish faith to speak out against the directions. Of course, not to condemn all Jewish people, that was not his intent. But his intent was to say how both the Jewish and Christian faith together had lost, had lulled many people into darkness, to put it concisely. And so take World War I, for example. It was England, Russia, and France against Germany, Hungary, and Turkey. You know, that's just a general overview of World War I. Well, whatever the fight was about, I won't go into it, but Germany was losing, or was winning the war. In fact, they were just about to get into an agreement to pretty much leave things as they were, if my understanding is right. So don't, you know, you do your own diligence here. But one thing's for sure, Mr. Friedman knew how Jews in Germany were of high society, owning factories, owning the press, very influential. And there came a point just when it would have been appropriate to quit the war. There was communications within the community with the United States and Woodrow Wilson. And Woodrow Wilson was basically duped to enter the war for a price. And the price was Palestine. So the Jews turned on their own citizens, their own country, the residents of their own country, and enticed the U.S. into World War I. And with our firepower, we fairly quickly defeated the Germans, and World War I was put to an end. And the Balfour Declaration was the piece of paper, I guess, which, you know, was kind of a mythical thing to justify the giving to the Jews of Palestine, or, you know, the agreement to create Palestine. Okay, that's Zionism, as my precept for today indicates. Imagine that. So imagine you're living in Germany, and you've been defeated after you were just about to win. It's not that the Jews were put in jail or anything, but there was a certain animus in the public toward the betrayal, which, with all these complications, you know, was leading towards World War II. And I don't have the time to go into it, but look up Benjamin Friedman, 1961 speech. He just spills out all the beans right there and reveals how immoral the direction of the leaders for the sake of mammon, for the sake of money, for the sake of manipulating people's minds to gain power, you know, the aphrodisiac of power, not for the good of humanity. And that's why I want to include the Masonic level, because you know, Christianity and Catholicism had some condemnation of so-called secret societies of the Masons, that because of the secrecy they held in their secular quasi-religious organization, it goes against biblical prophecy and moral conduct. And indeed, the Jewish, people of Jewish faith, people of moneyed intentions, penetrated the Masonic temples. And it's been said that, you know, the Christian Zionists, so to speak, that came out in part from the Masonic movement, and the tremendous amount of change in understanding. In other words, the created misunderstanding of anti-Semitism, and, you know, the book of Genesis. I'm just skipping over a lot here. I wish I were more organized, but, you know, there was a Scofield Bible that demonstrates how powerful the change in the Christian community was. In other words, for each Jewish faith person, there's 10 Christian Zionist persons that are all part of this change from a New Testament of Christ saying everything for peace and nothing for war, to 180-degree turn of we go to war for Israel against the Arabs. You know, that's the general message, the general direction that this downward spiraling plot has come to. And so, you know, one starts digging and you look into Satanism, you look into the Talmud, and one of the prayers, the Sidra, I believe it's called, in the Talmud says, you know, to outsiders that are not part of their system. The word Jew is very important. Is an invented word. It's not really a faith. It's just, in the 1600s, I believe it was, there was a abbreviation, just like laboratory has lab. Jew was an abbreviation of Judea, the people who lived in Judea. So there's many different forms, but it stumbled into the word J-E-W in English. So out of the English translation came the word Jew. In the Eastern Europe, where the highest 90% of the population of people under whatever social organization or government was there were adopted the Jewish faith. You know, Jewish, the Torah, the Bible, and I'm sure some of the, you know, as my father was not well versed in the Bible, I will freely admit that I have not studied in depth the Bible. But as we're in this spiritual, the New Testament and Christ's words, especially the parable of the unjust steward, have not, now mean everything to me. And so, you know, in understanding how religion can go awry, it's very important to, you know, when there, it came about, how this movement came about, how World War II came about, how it was a Holocaust for everybody, not just the Jews. And also the Jewish population is historically was fairly small, you know, like 400,000. And yet 6 million Jews were killed. So, you know, there's always spin in the eyes of war, in the eyes of the victors, in the eyes of manipulation of history. You know, reality is a tough road to hoe. It's hard to, you know, our friends, we're going in religion, believing what's been said. Our friends and family do that. And You know, we have to go on faith, but at the same time, things do get twisted. Contradictions do occur. And as I'm winging this last part of the blog, since there's so much to cover, there's been so much in these last 2 weeks. But the symbols I want to talk about, I've mentioned history, but when you talk about symbols, like an upside down cross, I've mentioned Melinda Gates, Hillary Clinton. There, you know, when you wear a bracelet with an upside down cross, and especially with a corona, there's two ways of looking at symbols. Okay, the upside down cross was a request by Peter when he was to be killed. He wasn't worthy of Christ, so he was killed upside down on the cross. Well, that's the common explanation. The other explanation is it was Emperor Nero, who was a satanic person himself, or kind of like the devil, put Peter on the cross upside down to mock Christianity. So it's interesting to understand. You know, there's various symbols, and in my correspondence with the coworker who is pro-Trump, again, I'm not here to judge politics, but he's given me this QAnon, and it gets into symbology here. And I have to laugh along with some of it. They have showed Dr. Fauci throwing the first pitch at a national televised ball game, and he doesn't even come within 10 yards of the catcher. He throws it to the left. Well, one can take that as a secret symbol, that he's leaning leftward for government, for world government control. You know, one central government to control the world, a Jewish plot, whatever you want to call it. And, but it, you know, some of this stuff makes sense, but it's very a dangerous, perilous path when you look at these symbols. He also has a symbols with his fingertips together pointing. You could call that a Masonic symbol, perhaps, of the compass in the compass in the square. My grandfather had that symbol because he was in a Masonic lodge. And I have a book that I wanted to recover from that lodge. I haven't read it yet, but it tells about the Masonic rules and some of the codes. But again, it's secrecy, and there's ways to laugh at the public or protect yourself using symbols that other people don't know. So I think it's just interesting. But again, what I'm getting at is since we're in a spiritual battle, I dig for why people behave the way they do. And, you know, there's these deep-seated fears, and faith allows us to get through life and face all these fears. But faith can also blind us. And I want to give you an example where the coworker has this QAnon that he gets into. And it basically, to put it short, there was a coup within our government where material was stolen from, what was it, Homeland Security? One of our agencies. And the tapes or the videos were very revealing of child trafficking. And these records implicated politicians from all over the world. So as Trump made his journeys throughout the world to places like China and even to the Pope, all over the place, as Trump is South America, there were these signs that you'd see of like people holding their hands behind the back, which was supposed to be a sign of a successful mission by President Trump. And in other words, he revealed to them incriminating evidence, so these politicians had to back down and do as Donald Trump willed for the good. You know, that's the whole point of QAnon, is that all these things that Trump has done, it may seem hard to understand where he's almost seems like he's filling the swamp, but by bringing these politicians up to prominence and then firing them, he's doing a favor. You get caught up in this. But what I wanted to say, and this relates to the topic today, is it's dangerous. You got to investigate these things. And they were talking about actor Tom Hanks, as he's one of these child traffic people where they have these pizza ceremonies where it's Satanism and, you know, blood from children. Oh, you know, it's, one can't even imagine, you know, it's to use the worst form of all human crime is a very effective tool. If you look at it, it alarms people. But what if it is a lie? So what caught my eye was Tom Hanks supposedly was eliminated because he might kill other children. And, okay, if he's eliminated, I investigated Tom Hanks in recent days. Well, it seems to me somebody that knows, the millions who know this person, there's been hundreds of friends, witnesses of him living and him stating things in the media about being a Greek citizen with his wife, and he's over the COVID. So there you go. It's an example of how a person of such power as a president and cronies or minions, whatever you want to call it, can create a concoction to camouflage what's really going on. And it's this riprap element way of doing things that, you know, if Mr. Bush was the waffle president, could, you know, slide around things, Mr. Trump is Mr. Weather Whiplash, I guess. I mean, he, you know, he goes in directions. So, for example, with the COVID pandemic, he's saying this medication, chloroquine, I don't know the full name, but I don't have time to look it up. But I think you understand. It's a very legitimate discussion. It attracts a lot of people. And I think Mr. Trump may be right. So when he's kind of at war with his own staff, there's this notion out of QAnon that this guy is doing all the right things. He's our hero. And, you know, he's kind of taking over the world to shake it up and make it right. But yet, when you start fact-checking and double-checking, you know, it's obvious to me, for example, that, well, the Afghan war has continued. The amount of military might toward other countries, you know, to take over Venezuela and so forth. All these things can be done under this great distraction. So I call Mr. Trump the divider in chief, just as many of our past presidents have been. It's just, as we're in greater crisis, the candidates now go to greater extremes. So in a way, they're puppets. It's the people with the money, you know, follow the money, mammon, that control. And I'm a final example. Let me take a look at the time. Okay, 1 minute. Well, get this. I've said that Mr. Tesla, when he was brilliant and genius, he declared at one point, scientists can think deeply, but to think clearly, one must be sane. Well, scientists who think deeply can also be insane. And as I shared today, isn't that the case? So who is it but Mr. Tesla himself, Elon Musk, you know, who's taken over, who's named the Tesla company after Tesla. Elon Musk is rich. Nikola Tesla died a poor man. And what does this rich man, Elon Musk, say in response to a Twitter comment? It was something about, okay, Elon Musk, Now you've got Bolivia, thanks to the coup. You've got your lithium. And he fired back something to the effect that we'll coup whoever we want. So deal with it. Okay. So, you know, that's an example of, to me, the extreme contrast between a scientist who had a clear picture of what's going on, Nikola Tesla, and a scientist like Elon Musk, who, though has done tremendous things and is tremendously a genius, he only thinks deeply and does not see clearly. Because if you look at the coup and Evo Morales being kicked out, he was democratically elected. There were protests going on about this coup. And, you know, who orchestrated the coup? Did he get help from the American Empire? You know, one can get into politics here, but this is morality. And morality has to be stated. You can't hide in your pulpit or whatever. You know, to see a clear picture and be sane, there are some really ugly things that have to be acknowledged. So, again, in my riff-raff way, I've gone through another hour, and I want to close now because an hour's gone by, and I think I'll start the next blog with what Dane Wigington has said about the belief systems, how deeply, you know, the people we love that have these belief systems that we hold so to the heart, how important it is to think critically and you know, even check with our belief system. Not that they're wrong. You know, in my opinion, for example, with politicians, in Minnesota, there was Paul Wellstone. He was very popular and, in my opinion, probably killed by climate engineering or some kind of, you know, devious plot. But, you know, here's a man that I was near him. I heard his speeches. I shook his hand. He's just a good man. He's a good moral man. And it didn't matter if he was Jewish or not. So my point is that, you know, the Bible from Genesis onward, like the Scofield Bible, that was given to seminaries, and it was from the Oxford Press. It was the first extension into America of literature that they produced and sold. It was given to all the seminaries. So it penetrated deeply. But this, instead of just the Bible in the verse, it had, like in the Genesis portion about Abraham and his going to another country where he could settle and thrive. It just took this story and turned it into Israel and turned it, talked about the Jewish. There was no Jewish people at the time, or there was no such word as Jew at the time, and there was no such country as Israel. But yet all these insertions in the Scofield Bible, the insertions had more words than the Bible verses themselves. And yet these books were, you know, with, from what I understand, the Oxford Press had a Jewish support. This penetration, like this plan of this plan of the learned elders of Zion, the Zionist plan in it, this long-term, carefully conducted plan to basically take over the world in a physical, political sense, yet at a loss of spirituality. In fact, the Sidra prayer, if I didn't say it, was if you make a contract or a promise with somebody, you must break it within a year. In other words, that somebody is somebody outside the Jewish or decide, you know, the Jewish community. So that seems like a rotten prayer to me. So with that, I'll close and bless you all. And I hope you are keeping your spirits through these tough times, we can all wake up, and it's time to wake up and be strong. Read the Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.